help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue with the singing of Psalter 10, stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows of Psalter 10, stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
verses 1 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We cannot take one breath, and we are utterly dependent upon thee also for our spiritual needs. Lord, unto whom else can we go with all our cares and all our needs for all the things for this life and for the life to come, for body and for soul? Lord, it is in thy mercy and goodness, thy long-suffering patience, that we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace. For in this past week also, we have heard that on the road in Norwich, a young man suddenly had to appear before thee in an accident. Lord, bless this calling, although we did not know him, yet thou art speaking. Thou art speaking unto us through all thy acts of providence, but also through thy word. And thou hast called us to gather together in this morning in thy house to again hear thy word. What a wonder that we may yet be in the time of grace, in the time between the cradle and the grave, a time to be prepared to meet thee. And Lord, we beg thee then for thy grace, for that irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, work among us mightily, powerfully, irresistibly. Lord, wilt thou bless law and gospel? Lord, wilt thou then work mightily and give that we may truly become guilty, lost before thee? But also, Lord, that we may hear of that only hope, of that only way of life, of forgiveness of sins, of being made pure and clean, holy, sanctified through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thou art that good shepherd. Thou art seeking and saving sinners. It's thy work by thy word and spirit. Oh, we beg thee then, bless thy word by the power of the Spirit, when that outward call may be proclaimed, that thou would bring it inward. Thou hast said in thy word, thy sheep will hear thy voice. And by nature, our ears are spiritually deaf. We do not hear. We hear, but we do not hear. Oh, Lord, we beg thee then, come with power, with might. As thou hast passed by Matthew, sitting dead in sins and trespasses, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed thee. Lord, we beg thee then for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners, for our eternal welfare. Come among us, work mightily, irresistibly. Do not pass us by as we rightly deserve. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would then give also thy sheep, those who are born again, but they come to church often on thy day wondering, how can I ever be a sheep? How can it be true? There's so much sin, so much wickedness, so much pollution, lacking everything. Oh, may they hear thy voice today, and that they may be comforted by thee, that good shepherd, as thou alone can comfort them. Remember those sheep who may have gone astray, bring them back. Those who may be in a pit of unbelief, lift them out, Lord. Thou art a wonder-doing God. In thee alone is our only hope, not only for this life, But for the life to come, without thee we can do nothing. We cannot hear. We cannot preach. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray and ask thee to remember then the whole congregation, those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, that they may be made alive. And those who are alive, oh, that they may receive a little instruction. May it be a little comfort. May it be a little food for their souls, a little strengthening in that way upon this earth in the battle against sin, self, Satan, and the world. Lord, thy sheep can become so weary. They need a visit. They need to be strengthened. They can become so discouraged. Oh, wilt thou then look upon them in mercy? We pray and ask thee to bless thy word throughout the whole world, among Jew and Gentile. May thy kingdom come through the foolishness of preaching, that thou would use men, sinful men, as instruments in thy hand to proclaim thy word, and that thy kingdom may come, that thy sheep may be gathered, and that there may be one fold together under that one good shepherd. Lord, we ask that thou would help the children to listen. May they understand, but more than understand, that it may be blessed to their hearts, but also to the teenagers, to the adults, to the older ones, to the whole congregation, Lord. Take away all other cares and thoughts and distractions, and that we may listen to the word of God. May we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Lord, speak with power for the glory of thy name. We pray and ask thee to bless also the word that is proclaimed in Bolivia. Help the team there, their families, the churches, the posts in Tarija and Luján, the churches in Santa Cruz and Loma Alta, the consistory members, the elders, the deacons, but also thy servant, Pastor Marco. Lord, richly bless thy word in that nation, that many may be born again, that many may come to know that only name given among men whereby we must be saved. But Lord, work also in our denomination. Work mightily, Lord. There are so many who come to church and who continue on week by week, who are dead in sins and trespasses, who know the truth, who can speak about the truth, and yet they do not know the truth truly, experientially in their hearts. Have mercy, Lord. Help thy servants, all the elders, the deacons. And Lord, remember also the student. Help him. Help the instructors in the theological school. And may we beg thee in this year, Lord, that thou would give opening to receive, may it be many men to be entered into the theological school, that they may become servants to work in thy vineyard. Lord, there's so many vacant congregations. Have mercy upon us. We do not deserve anything because of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. But Lord, may we ask thee for thy name's sake, for the coming generation, for the glory of thy name. And Lord, we lay all these things before thee. We deserve nothing. And may we give thee thanks also, Lord, in this morning, together as a congregation, that thou hast helped through with the surgery for Jeff. Remember him, Lord. Give him a truly thankful and a broken heart under thy goodness. And wilt thou remember him? Give him healing and remember him for soul and for body and his family. Remember all those who are in hospitals, among whom are no one unto us, who have cares and needs, that little tiny baby in Iowa, but also others, Lord. Wilt thou remember the mourning months, widows, those who have lost children, siblings, a father, a mother? Lord, wilt thou comfort them? Lord, have mercy upon us. May we ask thee then in this morning that thou would gather with us and give us a good day in thy house. Lord, thou hast promised where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in their midst. Thou art that faithful God to an unfaithful people, to a polluted people, to an unworthy people. Lord, come and give a good hour. Give the undeserved blessing from above. Rend the heavens, Lord, and come down and work mightily among us. And so we ask, Lord, nothing that we can lay before thee or plead upon because of us. Because we sin everything away, we're polluted, we're filthy, we're sinful, we deserve nothing, but may we ask it and beg it upon him who's at thy right hand, that precious mediator, the precious redeemer, that only Savior. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 220, the first four stanzas and more if necessary. Psalter 220, the first four stanzas and more if necessary. Great Shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the NRC Emeritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, in Bolivia, in Tarija, on the hillsides, you can often see flocks of sheep. And if you look closely, there will also be a shepherd. He or she will be closely watching over their flock, keeping care for their flock. And at night, they would call their sheep and they would bring them into a fold. And those folds were usually made of stones that they piled up to make a wall, and they had a door. And so they would gather their sheep for the night. In the Word of God, we hear of a very precious shepherd, a loving shepherd, a compassionate shepherd, a shepherd who cares for his sheep. He seeks and saves them. He gathers them now, and he will gather them into one fold. He watches over every single one of them. He knows them. He knows them personally. He knows them by name. And he will save them. He will give them eternal life. He will redeem them, and he will keep them. Congregation, one of the most beautiful illustrations of Jesus Christ given by himself is him as a good shepherd. And so with the help of the Lord, I would like to call your attention to what we read in John 10, especially in verse 11. John 10, verse 11, where we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So far, God's word. The theme is the good shepherd and his sheep. Three thoughts, three questions. Who is the good shepherd? We read in this verse, "I am the good shepherd." Who is the good shepherd? Second, who are the sheep of the good shepherd? Because we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Are you one of the sheep? You're either a goat or a sheep. And the third thought is, what did the good shepherd do for his sheep? We read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And so, the good shepherd and his sheep. Who is the good shepherd? Who are the sheep? And what did the good shepherd do for his sheep? Congregation, children, we read in John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." Who is the good shepherd? Well, in the Old Testament, in Psalms, we already hear, for example, about a shepherd. For example, Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel." The prophets also spoke about a shepherd. Ezekiel spoke about a shepherd who would feed his sheep. He would feed the lambs. And Ezekiel speaks about a shepherd seeking his sheep. But in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "I am the good shepherd." Notice he doesn't say, "I am a good shepherd." No, he says, "I am the good shepherd." He is the only good shepherd. It's not that there's a choice or a variety of good shepherds. No, there's only one good shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the good shepherd. Now in English, we can use the word good, better, or best. We can differentiate between something that's good, that's even better, or something that's the best. But that's not here. The Lord Jesus Christ says he is the good shepherd. What does that mean? He's the most excellent. There's no other shepherd better than him. He's the one who surpasses all others. He's the excellent, most admirable, most suitable, most beautiful, precious shepherd. Is there a hunger in your heart for him? Is there a need for him, the good shepherd? Is there? By nature, we have no need for this good shepherd. We can hear about the good shepherd, but there's no need for the good shepherd. He is a beautiful good shepherd. He's the excellent shepherd, but by nature, we don't see any beauty in him. By nature, we're spiritually blind. By nature, we have no need. Many saw the good shepherd while he walked upon earth for those many years. They saw him, but they saw no beauty in him. He was a man, but they weren't drawn to him for who he really was, as the good shepherd. And today, in the preaching, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is lifted up. You hear about him, but do you see the beauty in him? Or is there no need? Oh, how true it is, as we read in Isaiah 53, verse 2, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And that's our guilt, congregation. But has it changed? Has it changed in your heart and in your life? Has God made that change in your life by his grace? Are you like David, a man after God's own heart? He loved the good shepherd. He saw that good shepherd as a beautiful shepherd. He longed to see him, as we heard a few weeks ago. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord. David knew Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. And children, you know that beautiful Psalter, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David penned that. And so we hear in this verse that Jesus Christ himself calls himself the good shepherd. What does this tell us? This tells us, and it implies, that there are bad shepherds. That he is the good shepherd. And there's also bad shepherds. A bad shepherd doesn't care for his flock. He sees a lion coming. He sees a wolf coming, and he escapes because he's only caring about himself. And he allows the lions and the wolves to kill the sheep, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 12 and 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheepherd are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth, because he's an hireling, and careth not for his sheep. Now, children, do you know in the Old Testament a good shepherd? I think you do. You say his name is David. Exactly. David was a good shepherd. What did David do when he saw a lion coming? When he saw a bear coming? He protected the sheep. He killed them. He killed that lion. He killed that bear. But do you know someone who's infinitely better than David, a good shepherd? Do you know someone who is the good shepherd? A shepherd who will do everything to protect his sheep? A shepherd who seeks and finds and saves his sheep and who will hold on to them? He will never ever lose one of his sheep. As Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said further in John 10, verse 28, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck out of my hand. He's the good shepherd. Do you know someone who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd? You say there's many. I have one in mind, Peter. Yes, Peter, a sheep of the good shepherd. Remember, Peter said, I will lay down my life. I'll never deny thee. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Peter and the others, Satan hath desired to sift you for wheat, but I have prayed for you. Peter himself would have been absolutely lost. He denied the good shepherd, but that good shepherd prayed for him. That good shepherd sought him. That good shepherd visited him. That good shepherd restored him. Peter knew of the good shepherd in a deep way, and he wrote in his epistle, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. And he wrote, the chief shepherd. Who? Who's the good shepherd? Who's the bishop of the soul? Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus Christ. Now let's think for a moment, who are the bad shepherds? Who are bad shepherds? Congregation. Who were bad shepherds in the time of Jesus Christ? They were the religious leaders. They were those self-righteous leaders. They didn't care for the souls of those sheep that were under their care. If you look back in John 9, that man that was born blind, the Lord Jesus healed him, and they were very upset. They didn't care for that man. And what did they do? They excommunicated him. They cast him out of the church. But Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, he sought him, he visited him, he cared for him, he taught him, he instructed him. That man, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd. Bad shepherds don't care for the souls of their people. Self-righteous shepherds, that's who the Pharisees were. They only taught their doctrine was by self-righteousness. And when a poor sheep, a burdened, guilty sheep would visit those shepherds, those bad shepherds, they would only point them to what? To the law, to do more and to do more. And those poor sheep became so burdened, so weary, so lost, unable to attain anything. Bad shepherds say peace, 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 when there is no peace. But Jesus Christ, he is the good shepherd. You can trust his word. You can trust his preaching. You can trust his doctrine. He taught the truth about sin. He taught the truth about salvation. He taught the truth about his Father, that good-doing Father in heaven. But that Father who is also holy and justice and who will know by means clear the guilty. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He said that there's eternal life in those who believe in him. He's the good shepherd. He taught the only truth. He taught a God-glorifying doctrine and put man in the dust. A bad shepherd. Do you want to know if someone's preaching the truth? Listen carefully. Does that preaching, does the truth exalt God or does it exalt man? Anything that exalts man, you may know, it's not the truth. But those messages, the pure preaching of the word of God, puts man in the dust and exalts God and exalts that only Savior, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Who is a bad shepherd? A shepherd who never tells the people they need to be born again. A shepherd who never tells them the necessity of repentance and faith. A shepherd who only preaches the law or who only preaches the gospel. You need to preach law and gospel. A bad shepherd is who only puts all the emphasis on God's sovereignty and never speaks about the responsibility. We need sovereignty and responsibility. Death in Adam, life in Christ, law and gospel. A good shepherd explains the life of God's people, the experience in the heart, so those poor sheep can listen. And they may know, yes, I know something of it. That they may have a hope, that they may know, yes, I'm one of those sheep because I have the same experience as God's people have in the Word. A bad shepherd. Congregation, you know the story of Pilgrim's Progress Christian. He was traveling. Remember? Evangelist, where did he point him? He was a good shepherd. He pointed him. He needed to go to the gate, to Wicket Gate. But then as Christian was traveling, then he met someone, a bad shepherd, worldly wise man. And where did he point him to? Did he point him to the gate? No, he said there's an easier way to get rid of your burden. Go to Mount Sinai. He was a bad shepherd. A good shepherd points to the only good shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And he has a flock. Yes, every shepherd has a flock. The good shepherd also has a flock. Why does he have a flock? That's because the Lord, his Father, gave him a flock. We read this in John 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And Jesus Christ came to this earth to seek and to save his sheep. To belong to a good shepherd in Bolivia is a blessing. You see those sheep. They're well cared for. But then you see some other bad shepherds. You see skinny sheep, sick sheep. They're not cared for. But congregation, to belong to the good shepherd, that's the only comfort in life and in death. To be cared for by him, to be fed by him, to be led by him, to be corrected by him, admonished, led, cared for him, that good shepherd. Without Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, we are in utter want. David, a sheep of the good shepherd, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want." He has everything. Those sheep really, in reality, have everything because they belong to the good shepherd. But now another picture. Remember the prodigal son? Lost in sin, far away, living in sin. He came in want. He was without God, without a shepherd. He was in sin, lost. What a difference. With the good shepherd belonging, no want. Without him, we are absolutely in utter want. My friend, are you a part of that flock? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? We are either a sheep or a goat. Do you belong to that good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Are you a sheep? Who are the sheep? Well, that brings us to our second thought. Who are the sheep of the good shepherd? Congregation, who are the sheep of the good shepherd? May I ask you, are you a sheep of the good shepherd? That's a big question. That's a very big question to answer. And maybe you came to church with thoughts, riddles in your heart. How could I ever be a sheep? How could I ever think I have the grace of God in my heart? You come to church, you feel so insufficient, so filthy, so polluted. Your love is insufficient. Your prayers are often cold and hard. There's so much sin coming out of you, of the heart flowing out like that overflowing fountain of foul transgressions. It keeps bubbling out. Everything from your side is insufficient. Your hatred for sin is insufficient. Your love for the Lord is insufficient. Your love for your neighbor is insufficient. You can't keep any of the commandments. How could I be a sheep? That's impossible. Will not those sheep be holy? Will they not be pure? And so you come and you think, how could it ever be? How could I ever be a sheep of the good shepherd? I'm so carnal, so much flesh. So much sin, it clings to me. Who are the sheep of the good shepherd? Who are they? Do the sheep of the good shepherd come to a time that they think that they can please God with everything they have? Do they come to a place where they're satisfied? Oh, I'm a good sheep. I have good love. I have holiness. I have good faith. I have this. I have that. No. No. Do they confess? My life is holy. My life is good. I have only good thoughts, good desires, good emotions. No. Do they profess? My zeal is so good. Listen, I'll tell you what I've done for the Lord. No. Those aren't the sheep. Those aren't the sheep. Those are hypocrites. They're deceived. The sheep, they become poor. Poor in spirit. They just become lost and they remain lost. They remain carnal, fleshly in themselves. Everything from their side is insufficient. They love the Lord. They want to serve him. They want to be holy, but they can't. And that's their sorrow in their heart. Not only what they have done, but also who they remain to be. My friend, is there sorrow in your heart that you have sinned against a good-doing God and that you remain so sinful? They don't begin to feel like a holy saint. No, they decrease. That's the sheep. decreasing. They see more sin in everything. They do less sin, but they see more sin. They decrease. Why? So he could increase. So that good shepherd, he becomes more necessary, more suitable, more precious, more beautiful. He becomes everything. They become lost, and he becomes their life. Their life. They're like Paul, "O wretched man that I am, but I thank God for Jesus Christ and for him alone." They loathe themselves. They're not just a little dissatisfied. They don't say they made a few mistakes, I've made a few errors, but they begin to truly loathe themselves. Who would want to loathe themselves? But when they see what they have done and what they remain to be in the sight of God, they begin to understand a little and they see what sin is. Sin is. Sin is evil against a good doing God. Who are the sheep of the good shepherd? They have faith in themselves. No, they have faith in the shepherd. That faith may be so weak. That faith may be so poor. That faith may tremble. But they have faith in him. And they long for communion. They long for reconciliation with God, against whom they have sinned, through Jesus Christ. They long for his favor. Who are the sheep? They become hungry. They become thirsty for what? Before they were only hungry and thirsty for the world, but now they have a new hunger, a new thirst. They begin to hunger and thirst for God, for the living God. They hunger for him. They come to an end of all hope in self of ever being able to satisfy God, as we will hear tonight. And they begin to seek life entirely outside of themselves. They begin to seek for a good shepherd, and they begin to know the good shepherd, and he becomes their only hope, their point of faith, of trust, him and him alone. Who are the good sheep? Who are the sheep of the good shepherd? Who are they? They have sorrow for sin, but they also have a joy. Yes, they have a joy they never ever had before. A joy the world cannot give them. Nothing else. What is that joy? Joy in believing in the good shepherd. Listen, 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Whom having not seen, they don't see him with the physical eyes, yet ye love, in whom though now ye see him, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sorrow in self, but also joy. Joy in believing. May I ask you those two points for a moment? Do you have sorrow that you sinned against God and that you are sin? But do you also know something of joy? Joy in believing, joy in another, joy in the good shepherd. Has the good shepherd sought you? Has he found you? Has he become your only hope? Then you have heard his voice. You've heard his voice. He sought you. He saved you. He worked in you. And you heard his voice by the word and by the spirit. And he knows each one of his sheep personally. And he uses his word of truth. He uses the law and he uses the gospel. We read in John 10 verse 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The good shepherd, as the prophet, teaches them. He teaches them by his word, the law. He convicts them of sin, and he teaches them that they are lost, and they become lost. He teaches them they are guilty, and they become guilty. He teaches them that they have sinned against God. He uses the law as a schoolmaster to bring them to himself, and he uses the gospel to heal the brokenhearted. Remember that woman in John 4?
The Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed to her the gospel. He proclaimed to her living water. And she didn't have a hunger for it. She heard it. She had no need. But then he used the law. Go call thy husband. And that made room in her heart. And she became thirsty. And she asked, who is he? And he said, I am he. I think of Paul, that self-righteous Pharisee, also one of those sheep of the good shepherd. He was good. He was self-righteous. And he says in the word of God that the last commandment, thou shalt not covet. And he died to sin. He saw it. It was all sin. Thou shalt not covet. He became lost. That good shepherd uses the law and he uses the gospel to teach, to gather his sheep. They understand that they are transgressors. They understand they're cursed. They come to understand in their heart, in reality, that they are unrighteous. And he speaks through the gospel. They hear his voice. That he has kept the law. That he is the righteousness, as he says in his word, thy righteousness is of me. And he, through the gospel, they hear that he became cursed. My friend, have you heard his voice through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit? Sheep of the good shepherd, they hear his voice, and sin becomes bitter, and the gospel becomes sweet. They know both. Now, a shepherd in Israel, he walked in front of his sheep, and those sheep would follow him. And maybe other shepherds were calling, but they couldn't follow them. Because that was not their shepherd, they knew the voice of their shepherd. They didn't want to follow any other shepherd. They only wanted to follow their shepherd. And so it is with the sheep of the good shepherd. They hear other voices, but they're the voices of strangers. They don't trust those voices. They can't, because it doesn't speak the truth. They want to hear his voice. Because his voice through his word is sweeter than honey, as we read in Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. May I ask you, has his word become sweet to you? Sweet to your soul? Not only bitterness of sin, but also sweet to your soul, the gospel? The sheep of the good shepherd, they want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear lies anymore. They can't follow strangers. They want to hear his voice because he speaks the truth. He teaches the truth about who they are. That they are sinful, wicked, polluted, lost. And they say, amen. That good shepherd teaches and preaches unto them that they're under condemnation and worthy of eternal wrath. And they say, amen, it's true. And they love to hear what he speaks about that way of grace, that only way of salvation, the doctrines of grace, because that's the truth, that's the only way. And when they hear it in their heart, there's an echo, amen, it's the truth. They want to follow that only good shepherd because he speaks the truth. He speaks the truth of the glory of his Father. He speaks the truth of sin. He speaks the truth in everything. They hear his voice and they want to follow. They want to obey him. They want to live for him. They want to worship him. Because he is the good shepherd. Love was poured in their hearts. And now love goes out to him. My friend, you may feel so polluted. Do you? Do you? Do you feel more and more stripped, more and more lost, more broken down, more wretched, more sinful, more polluted, more bankrupt? Good. Good. That's what the good shepherd teaches his sheep. Why? So that he becomes everything. That he only is not only a partial savior, but that he's a complete, full, glorious savior for a completely lost sheep. The sheep feel sinful and polluted. But they learn that he is the good shepherd. Sheep are not only hearers, but they become doers by his grace. They don't only hear of the need to repent, but they do repent by the grace received. They hear they must believe, but they don't only hear it, they do believe because of the power with his voice. It's applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who are the sheep of the Good Shepherd? What other description does the Lord Jesus Christ give in this chapter? Those sheep also enter through. Do they jump over the wall? No, those aren't the sheep. They enter through the door. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Are you a sheep? Have you entered by the door? Or have you jumped over the wall? What does it mean to enter through the door? What does that signify? That signifies faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, are you a sheep or are you a goat? We heard some things about a sheep. What's a goat? A goat has no longing for holiness. A goat only cares about the consequences of sin, not about sin himself. A goat has no need for a reconciliation with God. A goat has no need for a shepherd. He wants to be his own shepherd. He has no longing for communion with God. He has no true saving faith in the Good Shepherd. He has no hatred for sin. He loves sin. He lives in sin. And he wants to live according to his own will. He's lost. My friend, are you a sheep or are you a goat? The sheep, they become lost. They become guilty. And there's a need in their heart for the Good Shepherd. He becomes necessary. Necessary. Not here, here. And he becomes suitable. He becomes exactly the one they need for their soul. The one they need for that way back to God against whom they have sinned. And he becomes precious. Becomes precious. Is that you? Are you a sheep? Is there a need, a necessity for the Good Shepherd? Has he become suitable? Have you seen him through the word, heard him through the preaching, and has he become precious? But that Good Shepherd, he did everything for his sheep. Our last thought, but let us first sing from Psalter 55. Psalter 55, stanzas 1 and 2, standing. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me, no want shall find me there. In pasture green he feeds me, with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. Psalter 55, stanzas 1 and 2.
the good shepherd and the sheep. Who is the good shepherd? The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We heard a little something about who those sheep are. But now, what did the good shepherd do for his sheep? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He came to this earth. He left the glory of his Father. He humbled himself so low. He came in the flesh to live on this earth to be that good shepherd. And who can explain all that the good shepherd has done for his sheep? But a few things this morning, congregation, a few things. Jesus Christ, as that good shepherd, seeks and saves his sheep. He seeks them. They're lost. And he saves them. He doesn't only save them, he seeks them and saves them. He doesn't only seek them, but he also saves them. He's the good shepherd. He can seek and he can save. He can do both. There's hope because he is the good shepherd. Ezekiel 34 verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Where does he find them? He finds them lost. He finds them cast out, polluted in their blood, dead in sins and trespasses, living according to the lust of their flesh, enemies with their backs to God. He finds them living to their own desires. And that doesn't stop that good shepherd. That doesn't stop the good shepherd. Because if that would stop him, we're lost, congregation. But no, his love is so great. That shepherd is so compassionate. He could easily say, sheep, I've had enough. I'm just going to let you go lost. You deserve it. But no, his love is so great. His love is from eternity to eternity. No sin, no unbelief will stop him. He will seek and he will save his beloved sheep. He finds them dead and he gives them life. He doesn't only offer them life. He doesn't only say there is life. He gives them life. That's the good shepherd. That's the hope. That's the gospel. He doesn't only say, congregation, there's life in me. Now you need to be made yourself alive. It's true. It's true. There is life. And life must be proclaimed to all in him. But he does more. He's the good shepherd. He seeks and finds them. And he gives them eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life. He has a flock and he seeks and he will find them. And there'll be one flock from Jews and Gentiles. As we read in verse 16, he will gather them. He does the work. He does it. There's hope. And he's still gathering today. I hope and pray also in Cortland that many may become alive. Many goats dead may be alive, sought, saved, brought into that fold by the good shepherd. That's hope. There's no hope in your pastor congregation. There's no hope in the elders and the deacons. There's no hope in any man. There's hope in him, that good shepherd that seeks and saves and gives life to dead sinners. And he gives them life. What type of a life? He gives them life abundantly, as we read in this chapter. He gives them life not only in duration, eternal life, but life abundantly. Abundantly. There's no life comparable. In that life is everything. Everything. It's an abundant life. And it will bring them into an abundance of life forever with their good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. What love, what mercy, what grace, what hope, because he is the good shepherd. Shepherd get weary. Sometimes you saw that when you're driving in the country close to Turia. You see a flock and you see those sheep. They're so weary.
They're tired. They need a little water. They need a little something to eat. And that good shepherd, he leads them to some place where they can eat, where they can drink. But that good shepherd, he also sees his sheep. They can be so weary in this wilderness, in this life of sin, of afflictions, of temptations, of harassments, of Satan. Weary because of their flesh. Weary because of all the sin. Weary because of the world. Weary with self. And he sees them. He knows them. And he feeds them. He feeds them. He cares for them. He brings those little weary sheep. With what? The pastures of his word. And they're reading his word. And they hear. And he speaks. And he comforts. He gives them a little food. He gives them a little refreshment. But what's the heart? What's the heart of the gospel? What's the heart of the sacrament? What really feeds those sheep? Himself. He who said, I am the bread of life. He had to die so he could be the bread of life. He feeds them with his self. He feeds them with his body, with his blood. That's the food. That's the food that really comes to satisfy those poor, weary, guilty, lost, polluted sheep. He seeks them. He saves them. He gives them eternal life. He cares for them. He feeds them. He does it all. But what is the greatest act of love of the Good Shepherd? What is it, congregation? What is it? We read in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. What? That a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest act of the love of the Good Shepherd, the greatest thing that he did was he gave his life. He gave everything for his sheep. He gave everything. He gave his body. He gave his blood. He poured it all out. He did it willingly. He did it willingly. What? A good shepherd. No, he's the good shepherd. What love. What mercy. He laid down his life. We read in Ephesians 5 verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. May I say this very reverently? God the Father smelt the sacrifice of the good shepherd, that Lamb of God, and it was pleasant. It was well pleasing. He was satisfied. He was satisfied. Friends, sin closed the way to heaven. But Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, opened the way through heaven by his life, his perfect life, but especially by laying down his life, by giving his life. And four times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about him being the Good Shepherd and laying down his life. Listen, maybe open your Bible and read along. John 10, the first verse is 11. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. And now verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What is the greatest act of love of the Good Shepherd laying down his life? What love, what mercy, what grace. What happened on the cross, congregation? He gave his life. Not to be killed somewhere in secret. No, he gave his life to die the most horrible death, crucifixion on the cross. What happened on the cross? I would say two things to sum it up. There's more, but two things. Payment. Payment by the good shepherd for that payment that his sheep don't have. Did you hear it? He made that payment for the sheep that the sheep don't have. He made payment with his life, with his blood, with his body. And what else? His Father. His justice was appeased, satisfied, taken away. Isaiah 53 verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The good shepherd laid down his life with one perfect, complete sacrifice. One perfect, complete sacrifice, satisfying the justice of his Father. And now that Father, because of the good shepherd, because of his sacrifice, because of what he did, those arms are open to receive and to embrace the most vilest, wickedest sinner with the greatest debts. And he can embrace them as a servant, no, as sons. Sons. Those sheep, they only deserve death. Sheep, you only deserve death because the wages of sin is death. But he's the substitute. He took that death that you deserve, sheep, upon himself. The sheep deserve to be forever forsaken, cast away. But he took that good shepherd. He was forsaken so that they would never, ever be forsaken no more, so that they could enter into that sweet, eternal communion with God forever. What a good shepherd. No, he's the good shepherd. What love. Open your Bible. 1 John 4 verse 10. There we read, not of love of the sheep, but we read of the love of the good shepherd. 1 John 4 verse 10. Here we read of love, of him that comes to them, unworthy ones, undeserving ones. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be a sacrifice for our sins. Congregation, oh, to know the love of God, to know the love of the good shepherd, that's life. Because his loving kindness, that's everything. That's more than life. To belong to the good shepherd, to know him and to be known of him. As Jesus said in John 10 verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And am known of mine. He knows them, and they know him. There's a relationship. They are brought into a relationship of love with the good shepherd. He knows them. He knows them. He knows everything, every thought, every emotion, every desire. He knows everything about them, everything within them, in their whole being. And sheep, he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your struggles. He knows your questions. He knows your hunger. He knows your lack of hunger. He knows your thirst. He knows your lack of thirst. He knows everything. He sees everything. He seeks and saves, and he will care for his sheep. Do you know him? I had a question a while ago. How may I know if I know the shepherd? How would you answer that? This man asked me, how may I know? How may I know if I know the good shepherd? What's your answer? How may you know? How may you know? A few things. Have you heard of him? Have you seen him through the word? And did that draw you to him? Is there love? Is there love in your heart? Is he precious? More precious than anything in the world? If he's not precious, I must tell you, do you really know him? Do you? If you ask me, is your wife precious? She's precious because I know her. I love her. It's the same with the sheep and the good shepherd. They know him. They know him. And they love him. become precious. Is he precious? Well, if you love him and he's precious, then what happens in your life? Then you want to serve him. You want to obey him. You want to kiss him. You want to follow him. And you're full of sorrow because all the flesh still clings to you that you don't obey him as he's worthy to. You don't worship as he's worthy to. You don't kiss him as he's worthy to be kissed. And is his voice precious? Do sheep hear his voice? The voice of my beloved. That's more precious than a voice of your wife, of a mother, of any other person. His voice gives comfort. His voice is sweet. The voice of my beloved. Is he sweet? His voice. My friend, you must conclude, I'm not a sheep. Be honest. Is it you? Go home. Go on your knees and beg him. Beg him. Good shepherd, make me. Make me what I will never make myself. Make me. By thy grace, by thy power, take me and make me one of thy good sheep. He speaks of other sheep I have. And you may beg him, I heard there's other sheep yet. I cannot say I'm one of the sheep, but Lord, have mercy on my soul. Make me. Be a beggar. A beggar. Wrestle. Don't let him go until you may know and rest on good ground that you are one of his sheep, beloved sheep of the good shepherd. He gave his life, but he still continues to work that good shepherd. What is he doing for you? He's keeping you. He's keeping you. Because if he doesn't keep us, we'll be lost. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He'll hold on to you. He'll hold on to you. He who sought you, found you, taught you, led you, he will keep you. What a precious. But he's also longing to do something, that good shepherd. What is he longing for? What is he waiting for? What is he praying for? What did he pray for in that high priestly prayer? And I say it in my own words, Father, that they may be with me where I am to behold my glory. He's longing for that day that he will take all his sheep and gather them all, ever forever with him, forever redeemed, forever free from all sin, all flesh, and forever enjoying sweet communion, him with his sheep and his sheep with him. He's gone to prepare a place, and he will come, sheep, and he will take you home. He said in John 14, 2, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a good shepherd. No, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be his sheep, and what a future for him and for his sheep. Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O Lord, may thy word speak with power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that dead ones may be made alive, that thou who art that good shepherd may have sought and saved sheep, could it be in this morning, that sheep may be comforted, may be fed, may be instructed. O Lord, wilt thou then give, by thy word and spirit, that only true comfort in life, in death, and that is belonging to thee, to that faithful, to the good shepherd who gave his life, who gave his blood, who gave everything for sheep who have nothing and only deserve eternal wrath. Lord, richly bless thy word to thy honor, to thy glory, and for the instruction, for the comfort also of thy dear people. Lord, keep us in this day. Help the elders who are called to also instruct in catechism. Give a blessing upon it for them and for the students. And may we ask, Lord, that thou would bring us again tonight to hear thy word. We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us close with singing Psalter 420, stanzas 3. And I think especially of the sheep. Sing praise, thou chosen Israel, who with the folds of sheep dost dwell. Thou art God's joy and treasure, like doves on golden feathered wing. In holy beauty thou shalt bring thy praise to God with pleasure. Jehovah scattered kings and foes, redeeming thee from grievous woes. Praise is thy holy duty, for God did choose a mount so fair that Bashan's height cannot compare with Zion's fame and beauty. 420, stanzas 3.
congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.